Welcome back to the Love Kinsey podcast. Today, I have my friend Mark Hamilton coming on to talk all things creativity, how to know when it's time to shift, and trusting God with our future. It is such an amazing conversation, and I know you guys are going to absolutely love it. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy to have you on and for everybody to get to know you.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to be here. Of course. Can you do a little intro to yourself for those who don't know you?
Yeah, my name is Mark Hamilton, and I am going to Hillsong, LA. And I'm living in LA right now and currently pursuing photography. Well, I used to be acting and now I'm pursuing photography and really enjoying it. Actually, it's been a really fun thing to enjoy.
Yeah, it's so cool. And it's so cool that we met actually a couple years ago doing hosting at Hillsong, but then it took until pandemic for us actually to connect with us both at the time going to Hillsong College online and just being in similar seasons, which I think is so cool. And just seeing how many things have shifted and changed, like you were saying, the change from acting to photography, which is such a big change, but such a natural one at the same time and such a good one. And this podcast really is all about those transitions, you know, and just finding ourselves on the journey. And with that being said, can you kind of just tell us a little bit about the season that you're in, the transition? I know we're very much in similar seasons in that, you know, we might not exactly know where we're going and we're trying to figure those things out. But could you just give a little insight into what that looks like for you?
Yeah, it really is like, and we were talking about this, how the only thing I can really describe is like, it's crazy. It's so interesting how you couldn't have told me 2 years ago that I wouldn't be doing acting. Mm-hmm. As soon as I was getting to LA, I was like, that's all I want to do. It's what I'm going to do. I was so sure of it. And it wasn't like I was pursuing my own thing. Like I really did feel God was leading me to that. But after the pandemic happened, everything shut down and I had time to really just be stripped away of everything. I mean, my faith got really put just into like the bare bones and the basics of it. And I started really finding my love for just creativity. And one thing with acting is, again, I still love it. There's not at all like a harshness to it in my mind, but I'm bringing to life somebody else's art. I'm bringing to life, you know, somebody else's dreams, which I loved. And I knew that when I was doing acting, but because of the pandemic and when I was stuck in quarantine, I was getting into writing music and I was getting into photography and I was getting into painting and drawing, and I was enjoying the fact that I was getting to bring to life my own dreams and my own creativity, my own ideas. And so that's what really changed, that I was getting to like get an idea from God, let the Holy Spirit kind of shift my imagination. And then I would get to use the talents that He gave me to kind of bring it to life, instead of waiting on this external force of somebody to cast me in something that they have already written.
Yeah. Wow, that's so cool. And I think it's amazing how God can open us up to so many things and get us out of our box. When we just say yes to Him, it's so easy to say no to other things and to let go of ideas that we had and ideals that we had based our life on. And it's so cool that God really is such a creative God in pushing the boundaries. And I love how over this pandemic, he really opened your mind to so many fields and so much creativity. And I just want to ask you on that note, what does creativity really look like for you and mean for you? Because I think it's something too that can be very polarized in church of, oh, creativity is just worship or just this, or, oh, maybe it doesn't really have a place in someone's church. Or, and it's something that can definitely be very opposing. But really, when we think about it, God is so creative and he's placed that on our hearts. So I know that we're both creative people, and I just want to know your thoughts on that, on what does that look like for you? And what does creativity, especially in your faith, really mean?
That's a good question. I first off, I do want to say, I love that you brought up that God is a creative, because the first story of the Bible is God creating, being creative. He's imagining what the difference of dark and light is. He's creating the earth and the cosmos. He's the first story of the Bible is God creating. And so God, you know, the first thing that we have in the Bible is him being a creative. And for me, for like creativity, like in the church, is creativity is it's an expression. And it's kind of like what I touched on with, like, you let the Holy Spirit kind of influence your imagination. You know, you let the Holy Spirit kind of take you into avenues that you would never have imagined. You would never like think of something like that. And it's, and you just kind of let it flow. Like, one of the things that I'll love to do, and sometimes when I'm in times like I really want to worship, like I get that, you know, like that craving just to worship.
Yeah.
Some things that I'll do is I'll just turn on instrumental music, and I'll let the Holy Spirit just kind of bring lyrics to me of whatever I'm feeling, instead of searching for the song that will speak directly to it, kind of a thing. I will let the Holy Spirit just kind of influence my worship in that sense of giving me the words to actually sing to the instrumental music, instead of just going to the song that has, which all this, like, there's so many songs that are so incredibly written. But that's one thing that I've kind of put into practice, of letting the Holy Spirit influence my imagination in that sense. And you're right, it can be polarizing. I was reading a book called The Reset by Jeremy Riddle. And I recommend it. It's an incredible book about kind of bringing back to the basics of what pure worship is. And one thing he brought up, that how worship leaders, we are in this like long, arduous surgery in the church, because we have to be kind of, in a sense, influencers. We're leading the church in something that is creative and that could be polarizing. And so many people have their ideas of what it should be and what it shouldn't be. And like he talked about how worship music, when it was first starting to use like electric guitars, he said there was a huge pushback. It was, you know, oh, rock music, that's satanic. That's from the devil. And he was talking about how he was during that time, he really had to pray about it, being like, God, are we doing the right thing with this? Because people do really not, they're not taking this. And God just really laid it on his heart that like, this is the avenue that I'm going to, because we're not supposed to be of the world. We're supposed to be influence of the world, right?
Yeah.
And so taking something that was so easily deemed satanic and something so easily deemed evil, and flipping it on its head and bringing it back to worshiping Jesus and glorifying God
is
something very powerful, and something that we are, you know, if we have the chance to do, kind of do it. And that has always really spoken to me, of like this long, arduous surgery. And I've thought about like, what are these other, you know, surgeries that we are a part of? As myself, of being a worship leader, is, you know, I know one thing would be like attire. Some people do not like the idea of people having tattoos. Some people do mm-hmm. not like the idea of someone being on platform in ripped jeans even.
Yeah.
And I think we have to bring ourselves back to God is not looking at the surface. He's not looking at the outward appearance. It says in the Bible that he is so focused on the soul and the heart of the person, the really in-depth things that we can't even see. He's not worried about the fact that, oh, this person has a tattoo or this person is wearing yeah. holes in their jeans, which is so funny to me that that could be such a divisive thing in the church when people yeah. see it. But I'm really grateful that there are worship leaders taking those steps in line with Jesus. They're not leaping ahead of him. They're not like just pushing for it. They're right. taking the steps in line with what God has for them and with mercy and with grace, bringing the congregation and the body of Christ, the church, to understand deeper of what is acceptable in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And I think there is a beauty to individuality. I don't think that there is, you know, there's not, we're not supposed to just be kind of like, I don't know how else to explain it, but like, you know, like the cookie cutter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're not all supposed to just be one way and one way only. There is only one way to heaven, and that's yeah. through Jesus Christ. Absolutely. No denying that. But we as humans are not called to just be one type of person, one type of human. The individuality and the is for me, in my opinion, it's very ordained by God.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I loved, I think it was Joel Houston that said this, where we are God's masterpieces, but we ourselves are not the masterpiece. Mm. So we are all little bits of this grand, incredible painting, right? Only some of us can be in certain parts of the painting, and only some of us can can give off certain colors for this painting. God is the whole. He is complete. Yeah. He is 100%. And I believe that he gives specific aspects and attributes to each person so that we are all reflecting specific parts of God. We're all made in his yeah. image, but like our parts of our individuality are these little reflections of deeper parts of God, like the joys and the smiles, there's creativity. There's people who, I mean, like my sister is in love with math. I can't wrap my head around that. I just don't get math. It's not a thing for me, but she loves it so much. And for her, like, she's like, this math is something that God created. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, God was able to kind of create these kinds of things that we could find in math, these scientific things that we can find. Like we were talking about how,
yeah,
like the science of it all actually points us closer and points us back to God. Cause it's like, so he created this for us to find. Yeah. I don't know if that answered the question.
It absolutely did. And while you were thinking, I was just hearing this idea of keeping the main thing, the main thing, but leaving margin for God to work and to use us in whatever capacity that he chooses. And I think that that's really where creativity comes in. And I love that you brought up the idea of a masterpiece. And I just had that image of, you know, if you have a painting on a wall, you don't actually notice the individual pieces, but yeah. you notice the big picture.
Whole,
and I think
yeah.
we can get so caught up in our roles and titles, and especially as creatives, like, oh, this person's on platform, or this person works with this person. I wish I could do this. But what we actually have to look at and is the creative picture. And the creative picture is what we actually see hanging on the wall and what God sees. It's not actually the tiny little titles or, oh, but this person has this role. It's really high up there and sticking out. But as an onlooker, when we step back, we actually just see the full picture of the kingdom. And I think that's so cool. And it is such a creative take on what that can look like in the church and what our roles as creatives really can be, that we are just a piece in the painting and that it can be something so phenomenal. And why I brought this up at the beginning as well is because my next question has to do with, when do you know it's time to shift? And I think it's such a good segue from creativity, because it takes creativity to see that and see what God is doing, and that He has such creative ways in moving us and shifting us and creative ways of breaking us out of that box. And it does take a creative mind to take that step, but it's a hard step to see. And even the most creative people can put ourselves in boxes, you know, of, oh, I'm just an actor, I'm just an artist, I'm just a singer, I'm, you know, for me, just a stylist, all of these things, when God wants to broaden us and break those boundaries and say, hey, and you're in this part of your life, you're going to go on to like a little bit of a different piece in the painting. And that stroke is going to go a little bit further than we actually can imagine. So I know recently you've gone through a couple shifts. And when do you know it's time? When do you know it's time to shift and God's calling you to something different? How do you approach that with God?
There's like a few answers to that. I know one of the ways when I feel like I'm making a specific decision and I'm praying about it and asking about it, one thing that I can find, and I'm like, this is a decision God has given me, is because I feel so at peace with the decision. No matter how uncomfortable the decision is, I feel so at peace with, like, yes, it feels right. And not because I'm leaning onto my feelings, but because the Holy Spirit within me is settling the storm of this uncertainty within me. It's settling the storm and allowing me to see clearly that that is the way I need to go. That's the decision I need to make. Yeah. The other side of that is having that faith to step out. And there are some times when I've been going back and forth with a decision. And I remember there was a decision I was trying to make not that long ago. And I was going back and forth and I could see the pros and cons of each one. You know, there, and both of them were right, but both of them could be wrong. Mm. And I couldn't figure out which one to take. And I remember so vividly remembering, like, I just heard this: whatever step you take, I will bring the good out of it.
Wow.
And I think that it was less about a lesson of making the right choice, but more about the lesson of trusting God with my choice.
Wow.
I could choose either or. God knew which one I was going to take, and He knew the good that could be found in both.
Wow.
And so, like, you think about how Peter, before he walked out onto the water when Jesus was calling him, he didn't know that he was going to step on the water and be fine, you know, but he knew Jesus was calling him.
Yeah.
And so there are certain decisions that our obedience has to be the first thing that gets us there. Our obedience and our trust before we get to see what it is that God is doing. And we have to keep ourselves open to being obedient. And even those times when it feels awkward, it feels uncomfortable. I know, like, making the choice of leaving acting, I was dealing with a huge bit of pride because I had told so many people that, oh, I'm moving to LA. Oh, I'm going to be an actor. I had told so many people what I was going to do. And then I thought, like, even these people, like, I worked at, like, you know, I worked at Target with, they weren't best friends. They weren't, and I had, wasn't working with them anymore, but in my mind, I thought, I'll let them down if I shift, because they were invested in it. They were incredible people and they were so excited for me to get the opportunity. So I thought, I'm going to be letting them down if I decide not to do acting, if I go with this decision to leave acting.
Wow.
And it was hard. It was really difficult to let go of that pride of letting these other people down and for them to see a different side of me. Cause I thought I was quitting. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm quitting and I'm leaving it because I don't want them to think, oh, it was too hard for him. Oh, he couldn't do it. Oh, it didn't work out. All these kinds of things, all these ideas. Mm-hmm. And it really just got down to, I am not here for man's approval. I'm not mm-hmm. here to do anything that would glorify a human and to make them feel fully comfortable and for them to always be.
Wow.
So, you know, it wasn't about me and it wasn't about them. It was about God. And if God was leading me to a different area, I had to be obedient because the thing is like, I gave my life to Christ.
Mm.
I gave my life to him. So as in obedience to that is honoring him with when he says go to go. If he says leave, leave.
Wow.
And yeah, it's the shift is really difficult. It's really hard. And my biggest encouragement to anybody who is going through a shift is to just, God is not anxious about the time it's going to take.
Mm.
He knows each step that's going to happen. And if there's a day when the only thing you can do is just get up in the morning and brush your teeth because you're so bogged down with anxiety and depression because you don't know which way is up, you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
God sees that. He sees, mm-hmm. like you were talking about the masterpiece, how, you know, like we'll see the big picture, we don't see the little details. God sees every single little detail. Yeah. He sees just the short breaths that you're taking and the deep breaths you're taking, the baby steps, he sees all that. And he is so gracious to sit in it with you.
Yeah.
And because he understands the process and he knows that on the other side of it is going to be so incredible, something that we're never going to be able to even imagine, but he just knows
the
goodness. He knows the harvest that is going to be reaped from all of the tears that are going into the dry soil. He knows it all.
Good.
And it really is, it's easier said than done, but a big part of the shift is just taking the time to trust God and as best you can, take advantage of the time that you have to seek him. Mm. You know, get in the word as much as you can, pray as much as you can, get into worship, just constantly seek him. He promised that, you know, those who seek will find. Yeah. And he never said that those who seek will immediately find. It's not going to be a, you know, instant thing, but keep seeking. Stay in the wrestle with God and, you know, until daybreak, and he will bless you. And sometimes that blessing looks like a wrenched hip, you know, like it says in the Bible, like sometimes that blessing is going to be like, oh, that doesn't feel that great. It has like a bittersweetness. Mm-hmm. And I think about the story of Elijah and Elisha, where Elisha kind of took up that calling to be like a man of God and to follow Elijah mm-hmm. in the steps so that he could, you know, become like a prophet. And when it was finally Elisha's time to kind of take the lead, Elijah was just swept up in the wind up the end mm-hmm. of heaven. And Elisha was like, that's not at all how I saw this happening. And there was a bittersweetness because he just lost a friend. He just lost his mentor.
Right.
And now he has to take this over. And it's so easy for us to get bogged down in the negativity and the uncertainty of like, this doesn't make sense. But I think we also have to acknowledge that we aren't going to always understand everything that God is doing.
Wow.
And that's honestly where for me, that's a lot of where my faith will take me and where my faith is strengthened is because I'm like, I know God to be good. I've experienced it. I've experienced his goodness. So when I'm met with these things where I do not know what he's doing, I have to remind myself and keep going in faith, not in certainty, but like in faith that there is going to be good in this and that there is a reason for the heartbreak. There's a reason for the discomfort and for the pain and for the anguish. And it reminds me of, like, I was telling you how I was writing, and I have it right here, like in front of me. I was writing to God, like, God, I'm so in need of you to pull me out of this uncertainty. And I need to get away from this anxiety. And I need breakthrough. I need revival of myself, of my, just my soul. I need something. Mm. And I said, and I'm tired of the anguish. I'm tired of this suffering. And he reminded me of Jesus on the cross, how before the big miracle and before this, before like the crux of our faith is like God, you know, Jesus dying for us, Jesus endured torture and anguish and pain. And he reminded me that when God is preparing us for something new, old parts of us have to die.
Wow.
Old parts of us that are these humanistic and these sinful parts, they have to be crucified with Christ on the cross. Mm-hmm. They have to die. And he reminded me that you're in mourning, you're in grief, and that's okay. That's lament, and lament is still a form of worship. But that's, he was just reminding me, like, you're in this grief process because pieces have died. Wow. But take heart, because you know on the other side of that, there is revival, there's resurrection, there's newness, there is miracles and blessings. And so that has just been like my, I've been just like clinging to, like white knuckling it, clinging to that, that promise that on the other side of this, there is a resurrection.
Right. Wow. That's incredible. And there's actually three things I think that you said that I really want to pull out. And it's just these three ideas of obedience, perspective, and just walking in that faith and being honest before God, that we can be fully honest and obedient at the same time. And I think that we see that so many times in the Bible, even with Jesus, of him going through the suffering and these cries of just help me, God, help me, give me the strength. And it wasn't always easy for him, but he always said yes. And we glorify the end result of the cross, you know? I mean, so many of us, you know, it's like we have crosses on our walls, all of this. And because it's such a symbol of resurrection, but for him who went through it, it was also a symbol of pain.
That's so good.
For us, I think we can forget that in our own life of when we're walking through it, it's hard to see what's coming on the other side. But it's so true that on the other side, all we actually do see is the resurrection. Right. I know that in so many times I'll look at the worst parts of my life, and it's not that I want to go back to it, but I'm like, wow, that was incredible.
Yeah.
And it's having that perspective though through it of having that obedience. And I think that's what you were bringing out, which I just thought was so powerful, was that obedience to walk through it and have that perspective of, hey, I'm going to look to God. It's not easy right now. It's hard. And God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where I'm at, and I need you to show up, but I'm going to keep saying yes to you.
Yeah. Yeah. My big thing is just like, in the meantime, in the meantime, in the waiting, I'm just going to lift my hands. I don't know. I feel so lost. I feel like I'm just wandering around and I don't know which way is up, but just, but I, what I do know and what I can cling to is I know that that he is good, and that I can still worship him, and I can still bring exactly like the vulnerability. I can bring the ugliest pieces of humanity to him, and of myself. I can bring them to him because he can handle it.
Mm.
And that's so true.
That's so good. And I know, you know, when we were talking this week, you had even brought up like the question of, hey, did I dream too big?
Yeah.
God, what is this? And I wanted to bring that out because it's so real and raw of that place. And it's so relatable because I think we've all been in that place where we feel like, God, am I giving up a dream? Is it me? What is this? You know? And it's so painful to feel like we're burying a dream. mm-hmm. or feel like we're starting over, feel like, okay, God, what are you doing? And it's this moment of just, we're at our end, you know?
Yeah.
And because I think we can put on a pedestal of the what, and God puts the pedestal and the emphasis on the why we're doing it.
That's good.
But it's so hard to make that shift on us. Yeah. And I just want to ask you maybe about that moment on how do you pick yourself back up from those moments to keep walking in that when you feel like, okay, is this dream over, God? Or why is the reason that I'm doing this? Because I think it's so hard to find perspective when we're in it.
Yeah, it is. It's really difficult to find the perspective when you're in it. I know. So like with the dream of acting, that was actually a very slow process. Mm. So that one wasn't much of like that one was a slow process, and it was a continual, I was laying it down, and because it was during COVID, so it wasn't like I was chasing it at the time. So I was given the opportunity to not be chasing it and to really question whether or not it was for me anymore. I do not at all like doubt that the things that I did do through acting and when I first like moved to LA, like that was 100% God, you know, like mm-hmm. there was a reason for that. I don't fully know all the reasons, but I know some of them. But with this new dream that I've been carrying on to, and a big part of it is this, and we touched on this, it's a big part of wanting the instant gratification. And there's this this thing that I still struggle with, and it's a constant struggle, is this, but God, I did my part. I read my Bible. I prayed about it. I worshiped you, and I've promised that I would give you the glory. So I did my part. Like you spoke the promise. I did my work. Now you come through. Now you give it to me. And that is such a dangerous place to be, because you are equating everything that God can do based on whatever you can do.
And, wow.
And God does not work off of what only things that we can do.
Yeah.
The reason why he partners with us is to show us, and this is, you know, for me, person is like, it's to show us that we cannot do it all. We need him to actually be the way that we can do all these things that he's laid on our hearts. And yeah, when I was brought to that place of, God, did I dream too big? It was because where my mind went to was, God, you led me to worship. You led me to want like this passion for worship and being a worship leader. Wow. You made the way for me to come back to LA, and everything was like kind of setting itself up. Everything looked great. And then I got here, and it has been about a month, and nothing has changed. Mm-hmm. And so I thought when things were starting to happen again, I was like, oh, you know, heaven's doors, they're opening up the floodgates, here it comes, like here comes this blessing, here comes the rain. And it didn't happen in the way I thought it was going to happen. So that's why I got to that. It was a very low place of just like, I'm the one who dreamed too big for you. And I started just questioning all the things, just all of like, was this actually a promise that you spoke over me, or was this a promise that I wanted to hear? You know, and so I started doubting everything that I had heard. I started doubting, you know, is God even speaking to me, or am I just putting words in his mouth and kind of putting whatever I say in quotes and like putting God at the end, like, oh, God said it. It's like, but did he? And in that, so kind of going back to kind of talking about the question with the perspective and like, how do you pick yourself up? One of the biggest parts of that is bringing it to God and bringing, like we were talking about the vulnerability, bringing it, bring your doubts, bring your fears, bring your anger. I mean, it was, I was crying. I was just so mad. I was so angry. Yeah. And I brought it. And one thing that was just like replaying in my head were not one thing, a few things, it was like of promises that I had thought God had said, and they were reverberating in my mind. And it was so clear that like, these are things that God has said. You do hear God. You know the voice of your Father. Wow. Right now you are truly like a part of you is under attack because there is something on your life and the devil does not want you to get there. He wants you to not only take these doubts to God, but to believe the doubts about God and to leave God with those doubts and to just leave. And in that moment, I was just like, I don't want to leave God. And I want to glorify God in everything that I do. And I remember we talked about this like the first time we had actually like sat down and talk was God kind of revealed to me, and he revealed to me it again when I was questioning and I was dreaming too big, was that we don't get to choose where we're placed to give God glory. But we do have the choice wherever we are, whether or not we give God glory.
Wow.
And so I had this idea of like, I want to be on this position and give you glory here. And God was like truly like that may or may not happen. You're not ready to know the answer to that. However, where you're at right now is where I have you. Will you give me glory here? And I think that is one of the biggest truly tests of our faith is when we're in unfavorable, we're in the desert, or we're in, you know, the valley of like, it seems like it's the valley of death. Will you still give him glory there?
Wow.
It's so easy to praise God when we're on top of the mountain and we've had these victories and breakthroughs and miracles. It's the easiest is to give him glory then. But I've been really tasked with giving him glory in the pain, thanking God for the heartache and for the anguish. And it is a daily decision. Well, like when I wake up, what, like for me, because music is a huge thing that God uses in my life. Right. And so one of the things is like, when I wake up, what music am I playing when I wake up? Is it like my sad boy hours or, or is it worship music? And you know, for some people, like that's not even like a thing they have to make, like a decision they have to make. But for me, I'm like, I have to earnestly like go into my Spotify, scroll down the list of my playlists and pick the one that has like my really like favorite heart worships. And I'll just I'll just lay there in bed and I'll let it play. And I, one thing that will come to me is Stephanie Gretzinger said this and love her. She's incredible. She's such an inspiration. Absolutely love her. Oh, yeah. She talked about how there are times that we are singing in faith because we believe. And then there are times that we have to worship in faith until we believe. And I've been finding so I've been having to find myself in that morning of worshiping until I believe it. And so another thing I'll do too is like, I'll lay in bed and I'll say it over and over and over until I believe it for the day. It's like, I'm fully known and I'm fully loved.
Come on.
I'm fully known and I'm fully loved. And I have to keep reminding myself that until I, almost until I'm sick of hearing it from my own voice. But it's just so that it's engraved on my heart. I can't get rid of it. So it's a daily decision to just say, God, this is where you have me.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I probably won't understand fully, like more than likely, you know, I'm not going to fully understand every single step, but it's where you have me. And I'm so honored and I'm so lucky that I get to say that. I get to say, this is where you have me, because what that means is God has me. You know, he hasn't let me go. I'm still in his hand. I'm still in the shadow of his wing. So it's actually like a, an honor to say, I am still held by God.
Wow, that's so good. Words have so much power over us and what we're declaring over our life. Because I think we can forget, you know, everything that we do is saying something about us and about who we even think that we are. And whether that's the words we speak in our mind or out loud, the music we're listening to, all of this, it's like, what is it telling us about ourselves? And it can really shift that perspective, and it can make the difference of staying on the ground and actually getting on our 2 feet, which is incredible. And another thing which I really resonated with while you were saying is about is the idea of giving glory where we are. And it's such an active decision, and it's such a small one, but such a powerful one, because so many times God actually won't give us that big thing that we've been praying for because he's waiting for us to do what we say we're going to do right now. He's like, it goes back to that verse that says, the one who's faithful with little will be faithful with much. And what are we actually doing with what we have right now? And if we have nothing right now, there's something there that God wants us to use. God always sees something, and he always positions us. I think we can have the poor me mentality of, oh, God must have changed his mind, but really he's trying to change our heart.
And yes, that's good.
Trying to change that heart perspective and our heart posture of he's trying to get us on his page before he actually gets it. You know, God doesn't just change his mind about us or about our future. It always stays the same. He is the rock, but a lot of times he's just waiting on that little heart shift of, I want you to give me glory now. I want you to praise through the pain, like you were saying, which is so powerful. And I truly see that about your testimony, and in every season, it truly does inspire me, because no matter what you walk through, you're always steadfast on that pursuit of God and persuaded, because faith is persuasion, that he is going to come through, which is so powerful. And we might end on this. I'm not sure. We'll see where it goes. But okay. I wanted to bring this up because I couldn't not bring this up on this podcast, because it's something that has always stuck with me ever since you said it. And that is that your future is God's fondest memory. And that is one of the most, I think, just profound things that I've heard, is that we can worry about, you know, becoming this thing and reaching for it, you know, and, oh, that idea that I just said of God changed his mind, or, oh, I was dreaming too big, or A, B, and C, you know, we can make a million excuses, but God is actually already in the future.
Right.
How does that help you in your walk? And what does that even mean to you?
Oh gosh. Okay. One thing it helps me with is knowing that, so for me personally, it's knowing that I do have a future, that I'm not a lie that is constantly will reverberate in my mind that I have to then, you know, take hold of and cast out, is that I have, for some reason, I'm the one that was forgotten about in the plan. That I am the one who is just screaming into a void, and that there is actually no purpose for me. So like one thing I did when that lie was very, very strong, had a strong hold over my life at one point, was I just like I made a declaration that God, you saw my life and deemed it worth dying for.
Wow.
So I'm going to look on Christ's death and deem that worth living for.
Mm.
And since then, I have continued to carry myself in this. I'm continuing on. I'm going to continue living. God, I'm here to stay because there is a reason you have me here. I have a future. And that saying that our future is God's fondest memory, I wish I could take credit for that. A friend of mine on a Connect, I'm blanking on his name right now. I'll remember and I'll text you too when I remember it. He said that, and that stuck with me when he said it too, because it's like, we're so, for me personally, I don't know if everybody is, but it's like so worried about what the future holds. I mean, just so worried of whether or not I'm going to see certain promises, you know, flourish in this, on this side of heaven. Mm-hmm. Am I going to actually fulfill these dreams that I have, or some of them just going to stay, you know, dreams? Like, there are some, like, I would love the idea of me being able to fly, you know, like Superman, like, but I know yeah. for a fact that's a dream, and I'm so okay with that just being, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm so okay with that just being like one of those, that's just like my dream. I would love that. And there are certain dreams that were like that. I remember that big dream I told you about. That was one of them where I was so okay with it just being, I was like, that's just a dream. That's just, what a cool idea. What a fun. And as things progressed, and as God kept speaking, and as my life was shifting because God was moving me, that dream kept coming back up, and it kept finding itself to be more and more plausible, even though it was so impossible.
Mm.
And for me, that's one of the things that when I look at certain things that I'm like, that is so impossible. Why do I believe in it? Why do I believe that something so impossible could happen? I have to remind myself, it's like, because you believe that God can do the impossible.
Yeah.
But one thing that has happened is God has spoken to me that since I have stopped believing in the impossible, I've started only believing in the practical, and only God doing the practical. And so one thing he's asked me to do is, like, in your prayer, pray for 5 completely impossible things. Just wow. pray for 5 impossible things, whatever they are, as silly as tomorrow I'll wake up and my hair will be purple and my skin will be green. You know what I mean? Something as like simple and stupid as that, but get in the habit of praying for impossible.
Wow.
Because having faith in God is already having faith in the impossible.
Yeah.
Christine Kane said this, is like, you know, some people will call us crazy. Yeah, you know what? We are crazy. We believe that God is this eternal thing that eternal, we can't wrap our minds around it. He sent his son, but his son and him and the Holy Spirit, they're 1 and 3, 3 months. There's impossibilities.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in that, and we are so, because we know it, we have experienced him. We can believe in that impossibility, but we believe it to be impossible, and that we can't believe it, that God would choose us to partner with us, you know, specifically, like personally, yeah. would choose us to do this one thing. We're so quick to disqualify ourselves, and we're so quick to say, no, not me. It must be for that person. It must be this person.
Mm.
We don't believe in the impossibility becoming possible for ourselves.
Yeah.
So terrible segue, but to go back to what you talked about, like our future, our future being his fondest memory, is for me, that what that has done for me is to just remind myself that I do have a future, that there is a plan that God has specifically chosen and created for me and me for that plan. You know, like there's like a back and forth. That's kind of what it does for me. It's a constant reminder that there is a future, and it, you know, being one of God's fondest memories means it's good. And it's something that I think about, like, I'll think about the times I'll look back and be like, oh, that was that moment that I knew, or that moment that I, like, the light turned on and it clicked, mm-hmm. and I understood what, you know, God was doing. That is a moment that God just, he just relishes, and he just smiles, and yeah. and heaven uproars in an applause and a cheer because his child is continuing on in the path that he's planned for them. And there have been times, I remember there was one time in my life that it was the weirdest thing. And if I was talking to anybody who wasn't a Christian, didn't believe me, this would sound so crazy. But I remember I was driving home from church, and this was a while ago. And I turned off my radio, and I was just like, I don't know what it is, but I can feel there's cheering going on in heaven.
Wow.
And I was stuck in traffic. So that I was just like, I wasn't looking at the road. I was just like looking around being like, heaven is cheering right now. And all of a sudden I broke into tears. I mean, just tears just started welling up and they started falling. And I was like, what is going on? What is going on? To this day, I could not tell you what it was for, but something that day broke. You know what I mean? Like there was something that was hardened. I feel, and this is my own kind of interpretation, and if I'm wrong, God will correct me. There was like something like hardened on my heart or on my soul, mm-hmm. or something like that, that was chipped away, was broken away. And I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was that day, but I just distinctly remember that day being so just like, in awe.
Yeah.
And so just like, I don't know what this is, but God, you're moving, you're doing something, and something good, because people are excited. You know, heaven is excited. I don't know what it is. So that little quote is stuck with me, and it is a constant reminder to me that I do have a future, and it's good.
What a moment that heaven is cheering you on and cheering us on, I think.
And absolutely.
It's so cool hearing those stories and hearing those testimonies, because it reminds us that God is always here, and that mm-hmm. he's always going to remind us when we need it the most, that true. He is cheering us on. He wants the future for us. He wants it. He has it planned, and he's in our corner. He's always in our corner, and he's chosen us because it's impossible.
Right.
Because we can't do it. When we say we can't, God's like, I know. That's why I chose you.
Right.
That's why you're the one that can do it. That you're the only one that can do it, because you can't.
Because you can't do it. Yeah.
And it's so freeing. It's so freeing when we realize that, because we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have it all together and be perfectly capable of everything and have all the ducks in the row, all of that. It's okay. It's okay to not know. It's okay to be a mess at times. God knows I am, you know? Yeah. And it's just so freeing that we can believe in the impossible, that we can pray for the impossible. And I'm personally going to take that on, of praying 5 things impossible every day. And I hope other people listening to this take that on, because that's such a convicting thing to do. And what a perspective shift to say, oh my gosh, I need to pray for the impossible today.
Yeah.
And it's also a reminder.
It's also fun. It kind of will bring you back, because some of the things like talking like the hair and the like, sometimes it'll bring you back to like that childlike faith.
Yes. That's what I love about that.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, because we never graduate from it. We're never to graduate from being a child in our faith, you know? And when we think that we have, God will always bring us back. for right? sure. Yeah. Like, oh, you're not there. But it's so fun. It's fun to pray for the impossible. It's fun to believe in the impossible. And I think the world needs that right now. The world needs some impossible faith for sure. And I think that would change a lot of people and a lot of people's relationships to God and to others to just believe in the impossible.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think I'm going to end it on that note and just believing for the impossible. And thank you so much for all the wisdom that you brought and all the perspective, because truly I feel so inspired from talking to you and in my own walk and looking at my own future as well. And that's why I think conversations like this are so important, because they do open us up to realize that, you know, we're not all alone in this, right. That we're all going through it together, and that God is here with us and he's in our corner and he's given us relationships like this to cheer us on and to push us forward. Amen. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I love your podcast. I'm a fan. And so thank you so much for having me on. This has been great.
Of course. Anytime.
Anytime you want me back, I'm game. I'm ready.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, I'll talk to you next time. And this was so great. As always, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you did, be sure to leave a review on Apple and follow me on Love Kinsey Podcast Instagram so you don't miss a new episode. Thanks again for listening, and I will talk to you guys next week.